take your seats. I'm sure you are taking your seats at home. I'm just going to take a drink. Bye, kiddywinks. Have a brilliant time downstairs, and mums. Well, it's so great that you're here, and it's so great that you're here with us on a bank holiday weekend, lo and behold. And I have a message that hopefully is going to put a smile on your face at this bank holiday weekend, if you're not smiling already. I'm going to speak on joy this morning. I like the word joy. I don't know about, do you know what I mean? Even the word joy, it's a happy word, isn't it? You know, you kind of feel better just thinking about the word joy. But you know, when we live in His joy, we actually experience a happy life, a joy-filled life. It is amazing what He can do. And somebody in this room sent PJ and San a card, which they have kept. It's on the whiteboard in their kitchen. And it actually says, happiness is an inside job. And I think that's brilliant, isn't it? You know, because we're all tempted to be very dependent on what's going on in our lives and our circumstances and our bodies, even the stuff of life that can be really challenging. And we can kind of live from the outside in. But if we learn to live from the inside out, actually, we can remain joyful, even when what we're looking at or feeling may not necessarily spark joy. It says about Jesus in Hebrews 1:9, the Lord says, He was anointed with the oil of joy. God anointed Jesus with the oil of joy more than all His companions. And I love to think of that. I love imagining, picturing, really, that image of Jesus anointed with the oil of joy. What did that look like? Proverbs 16:20 says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So of course he was happy. He trusted his Father for everything. And I had this thought when I was preparing this week. Just imagine if cameras had been invented back in Jesus' time, you know, when he was walking around in his human body. Imagine if there had been cameras. And imagine if, like you can get in some history books, our Bible had words and pictures. Have you ever thought of that? You know, some real, like sepia, do they call it, the brown and white or the black and white, just the old-fashioned pictures. What would he have looked like? What would have been the expression on his face when he came down the mountain after a night chatting with his Father? I tell you, that would have been fullness of joy caught in a snapshot. Not stressed, not kind of bowed down. I think he would have looked free as a bird, carefree. Happiness personified. Because do you know what? He just trusted my Father will give me the words to speak. These things that he's shown me that I need to do today, he'll give me the words. And he said, didn't he? I forget, it's somewhere in John. It's my Father in me that does the works. He'll give me what I need at the time when I need it. I've just got to make myself available. And there's kind of a lightness and a just leaning back on the Father in that. Andy Elms in the Soul Survivor course on Wednesday, he spoke about just making yourself available, didn't he? Just turning up, basically that. The Father will give me the words to speak. If I'm praying, he'll give the power that's needed at the time to pray for anyone who's sick or in trouble or whatever the need is. And I think quite often we can kind of make ourselves available, but we're no advert, really. You know, we're kind of available but a bit miserable, or available but a bit stressed. And, you know, he's put his Spirit in us. Think of it. I mean, really, I often, most days, stop to consider Christ in me. You know, I might not be feeling so great or so bright and breezy, but the Holy Spirit is in me, and he's the happiest person on earth. You know, the happiest person or the most joyful person in the world, if you are born again, is in you right now. So why is it then, yes and amen, why is it then so often we can feel less than the peak of joy and happiness? You know, we can kind of look and feel a bit miserable sometimes, if we're honest. And I know I quote Smith Wigglesworth quite a lot, but I love him. And I love what he says. I love what the Lord did through his life, amazing things. And one of the reasons he explained it, he gave an explanation as to why spirit-filled believers are not so happy and joyful all the time. He says your thoughts and feelings are often on the line of discouragement. Think of it. It's so true. Most of us are only, let's say, 10 or 15 minutes away from discouragement and feeling down if we let our thinking keep going in the wrong direction. Isn't that the truth? It's just how it is. 1 Peter 5 says, be alert. You got an enemy. Be alert. Be sober and alert. Be vigilant. To what's going on in your head? What is the dominant thought? You know, at any point in any day, we need to kind of, you know, if you do start to tip and feel a little bit down and a little bit glum and a little bit blue, what's the dominant thought in my head right now? Am I agreeing with God? Or am I agreeing with the enemy? You know, has he got my ear, the enemy? Am I starting to think doom and gloom? His negative reports and negative predictions? Or am I just believing Jesus anyway, no matter what? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God has said, God has promised. What's the dominant thought in our heads? And you know, at times we feel anxious. Stuff goes on and it can make us feel anxious, or we lose our peace over something. And we just got to do a Philippians 4:6, get with God. We know all this. Present our requests, invite him to get involved, intervene, turn our circumstances around, and then receive his peace. But let me say, if you have a heaviness about you, you know, you feel pushed down and heavy, the Bible identifies something called a spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. It's not just a feeling. It will give you a feeling, but it's a spirit. There's a spirit behind it that causes you just to feel pushed down and heavy. Let me just say this. Don't live with it. We don't have to live that way. Jesus said, come on, James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? But we need to do this. You know, we're a spiritual people, but we need to behave spiritually, not take every problem, you know, address every problem naturally. You know, if you had a puncture in the wheel of your car, you wouldn't sort of limp along, pull up at the garage and fill the tank with petrol, would you? Do you know what I mean? You got to address the right problem. If the problem's spiritual, let's take and deal with it in a spiritual way. Submit to God, align ourselves again with God, get under his authority. You might need to repent of negative thinking or negative speaking or negative behavior. Lord, I submit to you. I'm sorry for all that stuff. I just felt so weighed down and heavy, and I just, but I know I'm wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. Thanks, you've given me authority over this spirit that's robbing my joy, my peace, and every other good thing. And then you turn and you use it in faith. In the name of, it's just a simple thing. It's just a simple command, actually. In the name of Jesus, get out, leave. Leave my mind, leave my emotions, leave. Get out. Excuse me. Gosh, it's quiet in here, but I suppose it should be. But you know what? If I don't feel better after that, and quite often I don't, I realize I don't just need to deal with the enemy. I need to deal with myself. And I just need to get my eyes off of myself, right back onto him, and rejoice, actually, is what the Bible says. Give him some praise. We can get so focused on the negative things, circumstances, situations, or ourselves and how we feel, and we have to just kind of drag our attention back to him and just begin to give him some praise. And I want to speak a bit this morning about rejoicing. Activating the gift of God in you. Because, you know, if you are born again, all of us here are, I'm pretty confident, most of us here, and, you know, I'm sure most of you listening online are, God's put his spirit in us. The happiest, most joyful person in the world is on the inside of us. But, you know, we need to activate. I'm going to explain what I mean by that in a minute, but one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is water. You know, he's fire, he's oil, he's wine, there's so many. But one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is water. And in John 4:14, Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Take a drink from me, it will become in you a fountain, springing up to eternal life." And I love fountains. PJ and I, years ago, had the privilege of going to Geneva in Switzerland. I still don't know how we got there. It was absolutely fantastic. And we were driven around in a fancy car. But every time we went to the meeting and from the meeting, we would pass Lake Geneva. And Lake Geneva, if you've never been, it's just, I mean, it's as you'd imagine it to be. It's just all clean and tidy and Swiss and beautiful and amazing. But at that time, I don't know if it's still there. This is many years ago. But at that time, they had the most enormous fountain. I mean, it was like, I don't know, I'm rubbish at guessing dimensions. I'm going to say it was at least 100 feet, but of course Swiss were going meters. I bet it was even 100 meters. This thing was huge, huge. Not just kind of a little bubble thing. It was a jet that kind of just went up like that, and it just looked amazing. But think of it. Every fountain needs a pump, right? If there's no pump under the surface, that water is flat. Flat, 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 like a mill pond. And the Holy Spirit in us, this water of life, he doesn't move until we do something. Right? Think of it. He's in you, like water, the purest, most beautiful, living, able to do anything, water. Supernatural qualities. Flat. Unless we do something, because he will not force his way into our thoughts, into our emotions, into our will, until we invite, initiate, until we do something. In other words, we got to make the first move. God's in us, but we got to do something. Like that pump activates to bring that force, that jet of water, creating the fountain. So, what is it we do then to experience God in our souls, which we so desperately need to do, otherwise we're living outside in? Well, particularly with the issue of joy, we got to rejoice. We got to rejoice, you know? Rejoicing and praise is that pump. We can't produce joy in the same way we can't produce faith, we can't produce peace. We can't produce joy, but we can activate the pump. Amazing what God has put in our hands. Philippians 4:4, you will know it well. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times, in everything. Rejoice in the Lord always." And, you know, if you know your Bible well, you will know that the Apostle Paul, look, a lot of them had tough lives, but my gosh, he's got to be up there in the kind of list of really difficult lives. He was whipped, he was beaten. You can read about in 2 Corinthians 11. Whipped, beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, night and a day on the sea. 3 times that happened. I mean, it was tough. He had some seriously challenging circumstances come at him. But, you know, he used the word rejoice, apparently, more than any other New Testament writer. Because he knew, I got to get myself out of this. It is no good feeling sorry for myself. Yes, my circumstances are shocking. I can't believe what happened to me. But, you know, he knew he needed the Lord. He knew he needed the presence of God. Really, and I'm pretty sure he would have read his Bible because he was a good Jew before he became a Christian. I'm sure he read Psalm 100 and knew, 100 verse 4, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I get into his courts with praise. He'd have known that. He'd have known that. But he would have practiced that. I need the presence of God. I need God to lift me right now and do something supernatural in my emotions, because I feel just about as down as it can get. Thanksgiving and praise. That's the way. That's the way. That's the way. That's the way. And let's be honest. When you feel down and when you feel discouraged, or that spirit of heaviness has come on you, it's just about the last thing you want to do. Isn't it? It really. We try and kind of help ourselves with a lot of other natural things, outside things. But that Psalm 100 verse 4, give thanks, give him some praise. It's like a roadmap out of trouble, out of that down and out state, really into the presence of God. And in his presence, you see, there's joy. God lives in joy. He lives in an atmosphere of joy. I'm sure he feels joy. Psalm 16:11, King David knew this. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. There's no lack. There's not just a little bit of joy. There is fullness of joy. Okay? So he'd have known that. And really, in my own experience, right, I know I got to keep going. It doesn't just, I don't change. My emotions don't change with a little bit of thanks and a little bit of praise. I've learned that I have to keep going, lifting up the name of Jesus, declaring who he is, declaring who he's made me, declaring his promises to me. And let me tell you, if you keep going, there will come a point where something on the inside shifts, right? There's a movement. That movement on the outside will bring a movement on the inside. But you got to keep going. Don't be too quick to give up. And it often starts as a sacrifice. If you're down there in the kind of low place, it's absolutely sacrificial. But you know, praise should cost us something. Actually, Hebrews 13:15. Which one? One of them. Anyway, 13:15. Talks about giving to the Lord sacrificially. Doesn't it? Giving praise should cost us something. It costs us time. It costs us focus. It costs us our comfort. You know, we could be just watching TV, reclining on the sofa, feeling gradually. You might feel, fine and dandy whilst you've got your favourite programme on, but you turn it off and those same old down feelings come back. So praise should cost us something. It's never pleasing to our flesh, but it's absolutely pleasing to the Lord, because it brings us into his thoughts, you see. As you start to use the word, drag your mind from the pit onto truth, you come into his thoughts and his perspective on yourself and on your circumstances, and you start to get happy. Light dispels the darkness. That cloud of oppression will lift. That cloud of depression even will lift. If you will keep going, something on the inside will shift. And I love to use Psalms. I'll take a Psalm. I was looking at Psalm 95. PJ used it last weekend. And it says, let's sing to the Lord. Let's shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And then it goes on, if you read it, into today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as you did in rebellion. I kind of don't use that bit for praise. I just stick with the praisey part. But take a psalm and use the verses that are praise and make it yours. You know this stuff, but we got to do it. We don't get into joy, you know, in our souls until we start to give. And actually, the book of Psalms in Hebrew, it actually means book of praises. And it shows us, it teaches us how to praise God. And we're all pretty well read here in terms of we love our Bibles, we read. But you will know as well as I do, when you read the Psalms, it doesn't just speak about singing or speaking. To praise God, it's a whole body interactive experience, right? It's physical, if I can put it like that. It teaches us we need to clap, dance. The word leap is even in there a few times. Okay, it's a physical thing. Now, you might not be a leaper, and you might not even be a shouter. But let me say to you, if you will submit your soul and your body to him, something happens. He changes. He changes you. We know obedience brings blessing, but what I've discovered is that a physical obedience, because, you know, let's face it, very often we don't feel like clapping or shouting or doing a kind of jig, you know? But that kind of spiritual, that physical obedience will bring a spiritual breakthrough. Something happens as you do something on the outside, something happens on the inside. And you know, if there's a reason why you can't move physically, you know, you've got a medical or physical reason, you just do what you can. And God will bless that. God will bless that. But we've got to get beyond ourselves. I think that's the overriding message I want to bring this morning. We've got to get beyond ourselves and give to the point where something shifts on the inside and the Holy Spirit in us, that water of life, starts to spring up into our souls, into our thoughts, into our emotions, into our will, what we want. And my gosh, we benefit. You see it on your face. People around you start to experience him. And that is ultimately what we are going for. We're in this world really to glorify him, and that people will know who he is through us, through our message, but also through how we are. You know, the look on our face, just how we are as people. We should be the brightest, happiest people on earth. But we've got to have God springing up on the inside. That's the way, isn't it? And I, you know, I'm blessed in that I got this new house, and it's a big kitchen. It's quite a long kitchen. And I put my praise music on, and I just, come on, I don't necessarily feel like it when I start, but I'll pick something with always truth, okay? When I'm looking for music, it's got to be truth. But a good tune, you know, and a real toe-tapping beat. And I will put that on, and I will start to praise. I will start to march. I will start to declare who he is, what he has done. And I'm going to keep going till I change. And I'm not going to... So it's challenging a bit because my dog thinks it's a bit of a game, and he goes to my ankles. He's a bit of a trip hazard, but I'm going to keep going, praising my Jesus, until my emotions experience that fountain of joy, Jesus, in me. Who is the happiest person in the world? Well, Abel, he lifted Jesus from the tomb. Come on. He can lift me from the, you know, feeling a bit sorry for myself. And you, praise God. But, you know, we got to move. The very least we can do is put our hands in the air. Come on, we can all clap. We can put our hands in the air. And we can give. Give, give, something he's worthy of. And you know, I love Jen Johnson and Kim Walker-Smith, whoever it is that I'm listening to at the time. But I realize their praise won't change me. That pre-recorded song I'm listening to, temporarily it can give you a lift. But when it goes off, you're no different if you've not really praised. It's my praise that praises me, and it's your praise that changes you. It's got to be live, if I can put it like that. It's got to be live. Raw and real praise to our Jesus. But you know, the more you sing the truth, the more you start thinking truth, your perspective lifts. It's always bright where he is. Tomorrow's bright. He can see it. But you've got to believe what he's telling you about it. Joy comes. We've got to have a reason to praise. You've got to have a reason to praise. But our reason is God himself. Your circumstances may give you no reason to praise at all. Every reason to feel sorry for yourself and down. But he is enough because he's greater. The Holy Spirit in you is greater. But if I can put it like this, and I've had this scrawl on my whiteboard in the kitchen now for a few weeks. Your spirit needs a voice. The spirit in you needs a voice. Not any old voice. He needs your voice. What is on the inside of you needs to come up and out of your mouth. so that it changes you. Spirit changes flesh. Word will change flesh, but spirit needs to change flesh. Do you know what I mean? Our flesh. And there's a time for everything. There's a time for quiet meditation. There's a time for worship. Oh, I love worship. But there's also a time to sing and shout and dance and clap and move our bodies in the way that we can to give our God some praise, so that we break out this straitjacket that our soul can be. You've got to break it off. Break it off. And let me say to you, don't let your personality stop you. Your personality can keep you in a box with the lid on. It can keep you locked up so that you never experience the joy and the freedom that Jesus wants all of us living in. Now, I love worship. Love worship. But there are some breakthroughs that only come with praise. And there are some breakthroughs in your life that are needed that will only come with praise. Paul wrote Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." But it was God himself that gave that to Paul. And that verse of scripture, it isn't a suggestion. It's actually a command. God commands his people to rejoice. Why? Rejoice always. Because he always wants us living in joy. Not a single day out of joy. Not a part of the day out of joy. And if you've been waiting for God to give you joy, you'll wait a long time. This is the thing, because he's waiting for you to rejoice. Like that fountain, flat, Stanley, nothing happening, no movement. But think of that jet, hundreds of meters in the air, maybe not hundreds, but a long way. Such power, because there was some activation under the surface. God's people need to activate what he's put in us so that his joy, which is energy, by the way, his joy is not an emotion, but it changes our emotions. There's a power to it. There's a force. It's an energy. It's supernatural. It's not of this world. It's God's ability. But we got to stop living by what we feel. I have to stop living by what I feel. Because I do, at times, I can dip into that just the same as anybody else. But I know I'm not going to live a blessed, happy life. And this world is not going to get any sniff of Jesus through me if I let myself live like that, outside in. And it's not easy. At first, it's not, particularly if your circumstances are challenging. It's not easy. But if we will make the right choice, like one step after another, keep making the right choices, let me tell you, he will add his ability to that. And I was... not now, but a few years ago, I had a self-propelled lawnmower. I don't know if you've ever had a go on one of them. They're marvelous things. You just pull that handle. I think it's because I'm, you know, not heavy necessarily, but you just pull the handle and that you are off. It's like that. The Lord's like that. You just do the right thing and it's like, okay, we're going this way then. You feel his power. There's a pull on the inside. There's a power and a lift on the inside. I don't always use music. You know, I'll just take a psalm or I'll take a promise. But let me say, music is a big help. And if you don't have good music, you just don't know, because there's so much out there. What's good? You know, truth with a good tune and a good beat. Talk to a spiritual person with a smile on their face and say, well, hey, what do you use? What have you got on your playlist? Help me out here, because I've got to get some tunes that are going to help me. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Take me into the presence of God where there is fullness of joy. He lives above the clouds, but I want to live up there with him. You know? Let's stand to our feet. If you're down, lift him up. But I really wanted to say this, just as a kind of really important caution in a way. Remember, whenever you're praising, you are relating to a person. This is not a technique to make yourself feel better. What a dishonor that would be we're relating to a person, we're giving to our God, but he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. And you know what? I have that expectation. I apply my faith to that. I'm going to give you some praise, Jesus. But I'm expecting as I start to do that, I'm going to come into your presence. You're going to inhabit my praises, you know? And so thanksgiving, I see it like a plane taking off from the runway, right? Thanksgiving and praise will get me off the ground, get me off of earthbound natural focus into his atmosphere, spiritual, where he is. But as I meet with him, it kind of goes from thanksgiving. This is my experience, okay? But I know it's true for many people. You kind of start from thanksgiving into praise, high praise, up and down, wherever you've got some room to move and dance. But then when you really encounter him, oh, there's nothing you can do but worship. In that place, it's no more time for praise. You get down in that place. Oh, because you encounter who he is. The great one. And sometimes it's not even words when, you know, you go to worship. And I love worship. But we need praise. And God is not wanting to get something from us. You really need to know he's wanting to get something to us. This praise and worship needs to be a lifestyle. And it might not be, you know, you might not have the ability to put music on wherever you are. But you can just give him one sentence of praise. You're the Most High God. Right now, you're the Most High God over me, over all this claptrap. I exalt you. I exalt you. And I thank you. You're going to turn things good for me. You're going to work your kingdom through me, to me, through me. I give you praise. I give you praise. He wants us living in joy, church. He's a joyful person. He wants his kids joyful, happy, you know. But think of that flat lake. Without that pump activated, he wants us all to really just come on. This is the way. This is the way to come into my presence where there's fullness of joy, no shortage, so that you are blessed. He is glorified, and the world will come to know the real Jesus through us.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.